This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue inshallah today on our study of the 10 Sahaba that were given the glad tiding of paradise, as we alhamdulillah finished the biography of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, Ali ibn Abi Talib, wa Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. So we finished 5 out of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise, and inshallah today we will try to finish two of the Sahaba that were given the glad tiding of paradise. Two of those who were the ones that were in the forefront, the as-sabiqoon, the ones that got to embrace the da'wah of Islam in the very early days of Islam. And they were of the ones that named by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith that these 10 are in al-Jannah. Of course, al-mubashsharun, the ones that are given the glad tiding of paradise, are more than 10. There are many people that actually were given the glad tiding of paradise. Everybody who was in the battle of Badr were given the glad tiding of paradise. And that was in a hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know even one of the sahaba that was in Badr, who committed treason against the Muslims in Fatih Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented Umar from punishing him, and he said, how do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not look at the people of Badr and he said, do whatever you want because you are forgiven? And the people that are also given glad tiding of Jannah, other than those 10, also everybody who was in Bay'at al-Ridwan or Bay'at al-Shajara, the pledge of the tree, وعليكم السلام, or the pledge of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was in the event of the treaty of the Hudaybiyah, when those pilgrims that were out carrying only light armaments and light weapons pledged to die for the protection of Islam when they heard the rumor that Uthman ibn Affan was murdered in Mecca. And those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Qur'an that they were given, alaykum salam, given the glad tiding of paradise. However, the prominent sahaba, the 10 that we are discussing inshallah in this small series, are the ones that always their name come in the forefront. They always were around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one narration, that around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will always see them behind the Prophet in prayer. The first row in prayer behind him, there were these 10. And in front of him in the battle, there were these 10. So these 10 will always be around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in time of peace behind him in prayer, and in time of war in front of him, trying to protect the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, the Sahaba that we will speak of, inshaAllah, there are 2 of them. I will start with the first one, and I start with some about his father. And with the second one, I will start with some about his mother. And we will see why, inshaAllah, we are doing this. The first Sahabi that we will mention today, one of the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise, let me start with some idea about the father of the Sahabi. The father of the Sahabi was a man in al-Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance, who was in Mecca, who was from Quraysh, from the Adawi clan. And that is the same clan of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And as a matter of fact, the father, the man that we're talking about, is the cousin, the direct cousin of Umar ibn al-Khattab. This man was Amr ibn Nufayl, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. Umar ibn al-Khattab is Umar ibn al-Khattab ibn Nufayl. So this is his first cousin, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl was in Mecca, and he opened his eyes to this idol worshipping society. And he started looking at the fact and the truth of what his people are worshipping. And he saw no sense in that. And then he started calling Quraysh by himself to go back to the religion of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, the one that was disfigured and changed by idolatry, by other worshipping. And he started by himself worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had no message to follow. There was no guidance. But Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl was starting to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't know how to worship. But he knew that to make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would call upon the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by himself. Asma bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq narrated about Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. She said, رَأَيْتُ زَيْدَ ibn Amr ibn Nufayl قَائِمًا مُسْنِدًا ظَهْرَهُ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ يَقُولُ يَا مَعْشَرَ قُرَيْشِ وَاللَّهِ مَا مِنْكُمْ عَلَى دِينِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ غَيْرِ. He was by the Kaaba, and his back was supported by the Kaaba wall, and he will say, Ya Quraysh, O people of Quraysh, there is no one of you on the religion of Ibrahim but me, meaning on the belief of Ibrahim alayhi salam, except me. And he would say, Ya Quraysh, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالزِّنَا فَإِنَّهُ يُورِثُ الْفَقْرِ. Ya Quraysh, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالرِّبَا فَإِنَّهُ يُورِثُ الْفَقْرِ. He would preach to Quraysh and he'd say, beware of fornication, because the result of that is poverty. Beware of riba, beware of usury, because the results of that is poverty and a calamity. And he will see how they will bring the lamb and the sheep, and they will slaughter it for the idols. And he will say, Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl say, الشَّاتُ خَلَقَهَا اللَّهُ وَأَنزَلَ لَهَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَأَنبَتَ لَهَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ ثُمَّ تَذْبَحُونَهَا عَلَى غَيْرِ اسْمِ اللَّهِ. He said, this sheep created by Allah. And Allah sent the rain and grew the grass for this lamb. And then you slaughter this for somebody else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl yub'athu ummatan wahda. That this man will be resurrected as a nation by himself. Because he was not the norm in Quraysh. He was the only person that worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quraysh truly before the Ba'tha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ يَسْحَبُ ذِيُولًا. He said, I saw this man in Isra walking in Al-Jannah, and he's dragging his garment behind him in paradise. That was Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. And the Sahabi that we will be talking about tonight is Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id, the son of Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. Ibn Amr ibn Nufayl, who died before the Ba'tha, who died before the message of a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's seen the Prophet growing in Quraysh, but he did not live to the time of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet knew who he was, he knew who the Prophet was, but there was no message.
This group of people, these people who really believe in the original religion of Ibrahim, there's a name for them, right?
Al-Hanifiyya. Which is different from the madhab, of course, of Abu Hanifa, but this is the religion of Ibrahim, is Al-Hanifiyya. Right, and he was one of them, and Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl is well documented in our Islamic tradition as mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would be resurrected as a nation all by himself, and he was walking in paradise, and he was seen by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'id is his son, and he, if you always try to mention, and I even experimented with that a little bit, I would ask for some people to mention the 10, to mention Al-Ashara, and if you are to forget someone, it's always somehow Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd always is left out somehow, because not many people know much about the Sahabi. So it is important to bring this hero of Islam to the light, and to understand the life of Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd embraced Islam before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the house of Al-Arqam ibn Abi Al-Arqam. That means very early on in the da'wah. In the first few weeks of the da'wah, this man Sa'id ibn Zayd became a Muslim. And obviously there is preparation in the heart of Sa'id ibn Zayd and the way he was raised by his father. They were waiting. The house of Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl was waiting for this to come. They knew that everything Quraysh is doing was wrong, batil. It's falsehood. It's nonsense. And Sa'id was longing for the message to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here comes Abu Bakr to him. Abu Bakr, five of those ten that came to Islam immediately, they came on the hands of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who immediately, after he declared Shahada, went on for da'wah. Immediately went on to bring more people into the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare the Shahada for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr came to Sa'id ibn Zayd and he told him about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sa'id ibn Zayd came to the Prophet and declared his Islam. Sa'id was married in the clan of Adi. He is Sa'id ibn Zayd al-Adawi. This is the clan of Quraysh. And he was married to a woman. His name is one of the famous Sahabiyat. Her name was Fatima bint al-Khattab. Sa'id ibn Zayd was married to the sister of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And she was a second cousin of his. Because Umar ibn al-Khattab is his father's cousin. Okay, he's the cousin of Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufayl. So he was married to Fatima bint al-Khattab, and immediately with him, Fatima bint al-Khattab became a Muslim. In the first 3 years of their Islam, the Islam was in the secrecy. Islam was being called to in secret. And this was directions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, فَصْبَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, reveal, announce what you are called to do. And before that, the da'wah was in secrecy. And the house of Sa'id ibn Zayd was a place where Qur'an was being taught. And one of the teachers of Qur'an that would come to this house is a Sahabi who was an authority of Qur'an, and he was one of the ones that tormented a lot in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his name was Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Khabbab used to come to the house of Sa'id ibn Zayd and Fatima ibn al-Khattab, and he would teach them Qur'an. And he would bring with him the papers and the letters where Qur'an was written on. Umar ibn al-Khattab, on the other hand, his specialty at that time was to follow those Muslims, capture them, torture them. And especially the ones that belonged to the clan of Adi, to his own family. And Umar ibn al-Khattab became so infuriated with this division that was happening in Quraysh on the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way they saw it, this was tribulation, this was fitna to Quraysh. And one day Umar ibn al-Khattab decides that it is time to put an end of this. And if there's no one brave enough in Quraysh to put an end to this, fearing the retaliation of the clan of Hashim, then he will. And he will go on and he will kill Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he will put an end to this situation that was happening in Quraysh. So Umar ibn Khattab takes his sword and gets ready to go on a suicide mission. He wants to go, and if they kill him, they kill him, but he wants to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he goes on, and in his way to find Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man find him, and that man was also a Muslim, a Sahabi, and his name was Nu'aym ibn Abdullah al-Naham. Nu'aym saw Umar ibn al-Khattab, and he saw the anger in the eyes of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He saw the determination in Umar ibn al-Khattab with the sword in his hand. And he said, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ يَا عُمَرْ أَيْنَ تُرِيدُ. Where are you going, Umar? He said, أُرِيدُ مُحَمَّدًا هَذَا الصَّابِعِ. I want to go to Muhammad, this one who deviated. الَّذِي فَرَّقَ أَمْرَ قُرَيْشِ. That who is putting disunity, division in Quraysh. وَعَابَ دِينَهَا. And ashamed the religion of Quraysh. Made fools of the elite of Quraysh. The people of Quraysh, they would used to say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Sattaha ahlamana." He is making fun, he is ridiculing our way of thinking about the idols. So Umar said, "I want that man, I want Muhammad fa'aqtula," to kill him. And Nu'aym tried to scare him off. He said, "Atara bani Abd Manaf tarikika tamshi 'ala al-ard wa qad qatalta Muhammadan?" Do you think the clan of Abd Manaf will let you walk on the face of the earth after you kill Muhammad? I mean, this is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib from the elite of Abd Manaf. Would they let you kill one of their most honorable people? Although he is what you say, but would they let you kill him and let you walk on the face of the earth? And he said, "I don't care. They kill me, they kill me." And he, the man, is so determined to finish this. And then Nu'aym wants to buy some time. Wants to buy some time so he can go and warn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and warn the Sahaba around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to hide and to go somewhere around so he would not be killed sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Afala tarji'u ila ahli baytika fatuqimu amrahum?" He said, "Don't you go to your household and straighten that first?" Umar said, "Wa ayyu ahli bayti?" What are you talking about? What household are you talking about? He said, ibn Ammik Sa'id, Sa'id ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu, your cousin, wa ukhtuk, and your sister Fatima, faqad aslama, they are Muslims. Before you kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't you straighten the affairs of your own house? And that all increased the fury of Umar ibn al-Khattab after knowing that his own sister and his own cousin followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar ibn al-Khattab went straight to the house of our Sahabi today, Sa'id ibn Zayd, and he started banging on the door. And the people inside the house were the teacher, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, Sa'id ibn Zayd, and Fatima bint al-Khattab. And they were studying the verses, the beginning verses of Surah Taha. And they heard the banging on the door. And the banging of Umar ibn al-Khattab was unmistakable. And the banging of Umar ibn al-Khattab when he's in anger was very unmistakable. And they knew something wrong was happening. So the first thing they did, Khabbab ibn al-Arat was very weak. Was a person that is, his physical build-up is very weak, and he was not one of the honorable people of Quraysh. He was from al-Mustad'afin, the weakened. So killing Khabbab was no problem. So they feared for Khabbab ibn al-Arat first, and they hid Khabbab. First they asked Khabbab to hide, and hide inside an inside room or a small place that they have in the house. And then they opened the door to Umar. Umar, before he banged on the door, he was hearing Khabbab reciting Taha, "Ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana li tashqa." And they said, "Welcome Umar." And he said, "Umar, ma hadha as-sawt? What did I hear in here?" And Sa'id and Fatima said, "What did you hear? We didn't hear anything." He said, "Bala, faqad tabi'tu ma Muhammadan ala deenih." You followed Muhammad for his religion. And Sa'id did not deny it. And he stood in front of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So Umar took him, shake him. No one really can stand in front of Umar ibn al-Khattab. The way Umar was described is when he is sitting among people, he would be at the same level like when they're standing. I mean, he was a very well-built, a giant of a man. And his presence was also very strong. And he took Sa'id and he shook him and he put him on the floor and he sat on him and he started about to kill Sa'id ibn Zayd. And Fatima ran to Sa'id trying to save him from her brother. And Umar ibn al-Khattab and her, radiallahu anhu, in his fury he hit her to send her away, and she started bleeding and her face started dropping with blood. And Umar, we know about Umar ibn al-Khattab, although he had this fury and this anger, but he really loved his clan. He really loved his family. And he looked at his sister's face, and he saw the blood coming out of her face, and his heart felt some sadness, and he felt some sympathy towards her sister, his sister. So he left Sa'id, and he went to his sister, and she stood in front of him. daring him and challenging him. And this is something Quraysh is not used to. Women in Quraysh were not only a second class, they were like something you would sell and buy, and they have no say-so in any of the affairs of Quraysh. So when he saw that his sister is pushing him away, and she's standing in front of him even when she's bleeding and daring him, he got taken away by that. And he said, after he wiped some of the blood off of her face, he said, "Well, give me that page you were reading. Show me what you... what is that thing that is taking you away from the religion of your fathers, from the religion of your ancestors?" And she said, "I will not give it to you." He is even taken more by that. He said, "Why are you refusing?" She said, "Innaka mushrikun najis. You're a dirty unbeliever. You have to go wash up. And then I will give it to you." So Umar went out and he poured the water on himself and he made the ghusl. He washed himself. And then he said, "Give me this. Give me this paper. Let me read." And Umar ibn Khattab was of the one that actually was literate in Quraysh. And he learned how to read in the clan of Umayyah. The people of Umayyah taught Umar ibn Khattab how to read. So not only he was a strong fighter, but he also had education in Quraysh, where very few people read. And he pulled the sahifa, this piece of leather, and he looked and he started reading. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم الجهر يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. Started reading these verses of Taha. Taha, we did not reveal this Quran upon you, so you would be miserable with it. ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. It is a reminder for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab read and looked and read and looked, and then he said, مَا يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ يَقُولُ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ أَنْ يُعْبَدَ مَعَهُ غَيْرُ. The one who says these words, he should not and could not be worshipped with anybody else. There could not be any association for the one who said these words with anybody else. وَمَا أَحْسَنَ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ وَمَا أَكْرَمَ. They saw, he said, "What? How beautiful these words and how noble these words are." So they looked at the face of Umar and it's a different face. The whole demeanor of Umar ibn al-Khattab changed because the Quran went to the heart of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And that heart that was filled with fury and anger and murder, now he said, "Dulluni ala Muhammad." When he was walking to the house of Sa'id, he was saying, "Dulluni ala Muhammad, show me where Muhammad is." And yet then he said, "Show me where Muhammad is," in a totally different fashion. Then only Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anh said, "I will take you to Muhammad. I will take you to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So he took Umar ibn Khattab and he went with him to the house of Al-Arqam ibn Al-Arqam. At that time, Nu'aym had reached the house of Al-Arqam and he gave the warning. Umar ibn Khattab is coming to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Sahaba were on alert. Here comes this Jabbar. This strong man of Quraysh is coming to kill the Prophet. And Hamza said to the Prophet, "Let me handle him, Ya Rasulullah. Let me handle Umar." Who does he think he is? He is Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. "I'm your uncle, I will take care of Umar." The Prophet said, "No, I will take care of him. I will take care of Umar." So when they heard the knocking of Umar ibn Khattab on the door, the Prophet came out to the door. He didn't let any of the other Sahaba come out. And he opened the door and he grabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he shook him. He said, "Till when, Umar? Till when?" And he said, "Umar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka ya Rasulullah." He said, "I witness that there is only that la ilaha illallah and you are, Ya Muhammad, is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the story that was well documented of the Islam of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and that was started in the house of Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd was one of the people always around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the battle of Badr, Sa'id ibn Zayd ibn Amr had a story that he was not actually in the battle itself, but yet he was considered one of al-Badriyin, one of the people of Badr. How come? Like, we remember who's the other Sahabi of the 10 that was not in Badr, and see, it's still he's considered of the people of Badr. Who's Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. This is the other one, is Sa'id ibn Zayd. Sa'id ibn Zayd. And the third one actually is Talhat ibn Ubaidillah. All three of them were not in Badr, but they're all considered, they're, all of three of them are from the 10 that are given the glad tidings of paradise, and all three of them were not in Badr, and all three of them are considered of Badr. Uthman ibn Affan, because he was nursing his wife based on the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya bint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Sa'id ibn Zayd and Talha ibn Ubaidillah, they were on a mission, also from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were from the bravest two people. Now they were, both of them, they were young. They were young people in Quraysh, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the mission of the scouts. He told them to go and scout for the caravan of Abu Sufyan, to find where this caravan is and how this caravan is moving. So Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Sa'id ibn Zayd, 10 days before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out of Medina, they went after the caravan. They wanted to see where the caravan is. And they went to a place called Al-Hawra, and they stood there. They were like the Delta Force or the special forces that you send in before the attack to make sure that your coordinations are right and everything is gonna go according to plan. And these were the two heroes of Islam, Sa'id ibn Zayd and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. So they went far into a place called Al-Hawra, and they found that the caravan actually went towards the coast and was going through, the caravan was alerted not to go close to Al-Madina, and they went west to the coast of Tuhama, and that way the caravan escaped from the attack of the Muslims. By the time Sa'id ibn Zayd and Talha ibn Ubaidillah went back to Al-Madina to let the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam know, they were not the only scouts. They were one of the scouts that went out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already known he was out to Badr, and by the time they followed the Muslim, the battle was over. The battle, they missed the battle of Badr. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the sahm, gave them the share of the spoils of the battle of Badr, and he considered them of the army, because they were actually in the army, but they were on a mission outside the battlefield. And Sa'id ibn Badr was in Uhud, and he was one of the people that were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when very few were around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Uhud. He was also in Al-Khandaq, in the battle of Al-Ahzab, the battle of the trench. And he was also in a battle of in the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, and he witnessed Al-Bay'ah. He witnessed the pledge of Al-Ridwan, Bay'at al-Shajras. He was also given the glad tiding of paradise twice, by the famous hadith that counted all the 10, and also by being of those people who pledged under the tree, the pledge of the pleasure, or the pledge of the death. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Sa'id ibn Zayd supported the Khulafa, supported Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, participated in the battles of Ar-Ridda, the rebellion against Islam, and he was also a soldier in the army that Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq actually sent to Asham to fight the Byzantine. And when Khalid ibn al-Walid in the battle of Al-Yarmouk was to choose the leaders of the army, he chose Sa'id ibn Zayd for the heart of the army. For the front of the army, the leader of that was Sa'id ibn Zayd, our hero today. And that day witnesses for Sa'id ibn Zayd some heroic fighting and some heroic leadership. And one of the quotes of Sa'id ibn Zayd, he would, in the battle, yelling for Muslims, and he will say, "Ibad Allah, insur Allah yansurkum." O servants of Allah, O slave of Allah, support Allah, help give the victory to Allah. Allah will give you the victory. Wa yuthabbit aqdamakum, and he will hold your feet steadfast. Ya ma'shar al-muslimin asbiru, persevere and endure. فَإِنَّ الصَّبْرَ مَنْجَاتٌ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ. Because perseverance, this endurance in the battle, is what will save you from not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَرْضَاتٌ لِلْرَبِّ. And it is what brings the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he gave his orders. He said, إِلْزَمُ الصَّمْتَ إِلَّا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى أَمُرَكُمْ. He said, don't speak except mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until I give you my orders. And after the battle of Al-Yarmouk, Sa'id ibn Zayd went to the second battle, which is the siege of Damascus. And he was one of the people that came and conquered the biggest city at that time, one of the biggest cities in Sham, which was Damascus. And after he conquered Damascus, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, we know Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, after Umar ibn al-Khattab became Khalifa, he made Khalid step down and he put Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah as the general commander of the armies of Asham. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, as the general commander, he appoints Sa'id ibn Zayd as a governor of Damascus. And he was the first Muslim governor in history for the city of Damascus. After Sa'id ibn Zayd became a governor, he remained in Damascus for a few months. Now this is a man who was raised around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of jihad, the love of spreading the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in his blood. And here he is, he was brought to settle in the palace of the Byzantine governor after the Muslims became the governors of the people in control of Damascus. And he saw this great city with the high walls and with the palaces and with big temples. And this is all his now to command. And he was not satisfied with that. He said, I don't like this. I don't like to be a governor. I want to be a soldier. So he wrote a letter to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And he said, وَإِنِّي after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنِّي مَا كُنْتُ لِيُؤْثِرَكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ بِالْجِهَادِ عَلَى نَفْسِي. He said, I will not prefer that you and your companions go and have jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave me out here in Damascus as a governor. وَعَلَى مَا يُدْنِينِي مِنْ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. You are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, فَإِذَا جَاءَتَ كِتَابِي هَذَا. When you receive my letter, this is a letter of resignation by the governor of Damascus to his general commander. He said, when my letter reaches you, فَبْعَثْ إِلَىٰ عَمَلِكَ, send to this position, مَنْ هُوَ أَرْغَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنِّي, somebody who really likes this, somebody who really likes this position more than I do. فَإِنِّي قَادِمٌ عَلَيْكَ, because I'm coming to you. I'm coming back to put myself under your command, وَشِيكًا inshaAllah, very, very soon, inshaAllah. والسلام. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah gave him the permission and he allowed him to step down and go back as a soldier instead of being a governor of one of the biggest cities that the Muslims conquered in Damascus. And he said the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَنَشْهَدٌ شَهِدَهُ رَجُلٌ مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغبر فيه وجهه مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل من عمل أحدكم ولو عمر عمر نوح. He said, one battle that you dust your face with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is better than all the good deeds of any of us, even if they lived as much as Nuh did, as much as the Prophet Nuh did. Sa'id ibn Zayd, our Sahabi, he narrated 48 hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of them are in both Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and Al-Bukhari had only one hadith that was not narrated in Muslim. And from Sa'id, many of the Sahaba learned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of the students of Sa'id ibn Zayd was Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. May Allah be pleased with both of them. The hadith that the 10 that are given the glad tiding of paradise is narrated on Sa'id ibn Zayd. And the narration goes, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَشْرَةٌ مِّن قُرَيْشٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ 10 people of Quraysh are in paradise. Abu Bakr, وعمر وعثمان وعلي وطلحة والزبير وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن مالك, which is سعد بن أبي وقاص, وسعيد بن زيد بن عمرو بن نفيل وأبو عبيدة بن الجراح. He said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, these 10 are giving the glad tiding of paradise. There is also another hadith, and it is narrated by Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, that mentioned the same people. The same people that are mentioned in the hadith of Sa'id ibn Zayd. Then Sa'id ibn Zayd lived, and his cousin and his brother-in-law, Umar ibn al-Khattab, was the Khalifa. And Sa'id ibn Zayd lived till the day, the dark day of Islam, when Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was stabbed. And Umar ibn al-Khattab wanted to appoint a committee, appoint a shura, people that he knows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world and he was pleased with. The people that he can trust the ummah with. And basically they are the surviving 10, the 10 that are left from the ones that are given the glad tiding of paradise. But he mentioned the 6 that were left, and the 7th one was not mentioned. Who is Sa'id ibn Zayd? He did not appoint Sa'id ibn Zayd as one of the shura, although he's one of the 10. Why is that? Because that's his cousin. Because Umar ibn al-Khattab was above anything. If he would, his family, it was a disadvantage to be close to Umar ibn al-Khattab. It was a disadvantage to be the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab. It was a disadvantage to be close to Umar ibn al-Khattab in kinship. We know the story when one of his children bought camels and he sent them out to feed and eat around Medina and then sell it with the Prophet, and he made him put the Prophet back into the Muslims because he said, your camels were taken extra care of because you're my son. So even in the halal, he would not let people take advantage of the name of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And because Sa'id ibn Zayd was his cousin, and because he was his brother-in-law, he was married to Fatima ibn al-Khattab, he left him out of the shura. But his rank, his station in Islam is definitely with one of those of the shura. And then Sa'id ibn Zayd continued in his life way into the Khilafah of Muawiyah, and he died in the year 51 after Hijrah, after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was over 70 years old, rahimahullah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with the seerah of Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu wa an sahabati rasulillahi ajma'in. The second sahabi that we will mention today, I said we will start with one sahabi and we will talk about his father. But we will, when we mention the second sahabi of the 10, we will talk about his mother. This mother, this sahabiyah, her name was Ash-Shifa'u bint Auf, bint Abd al-Harith, from the clan of Zuhra. Ash-Shifa' radiallahu anha was in the time of Jahiliyyah, and she had a profession, she was a midwife. And this woman was called one night to come and help her deliver a baby. And the mother was Amina bint Wahab. And the midwife was Ash-Shifa. So she helped deliver the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the mother of the Sahabi that we will talk about, is the one that delivered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, helped deliver the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who is that Sahabi? He is a man of the 10. He is from the clan of Zuhra, who is the clan of Amina bint Wahab. So he is related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside Quraysh on his mother's side. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he is from the clan of Zuhra, but this is the other one. Jazakallah khair. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is also related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is one of the people that were in the forefront of Islam. He's one of the 10 that are giving the glad tiding of paradise, and he is one of the 6 that are named by Umar ibn al-Khattab in the Shura. His name before Islam, Ar-Rahman, is a new word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into the Arabic language with the Quran. Because the Arabs said, وَمَا الرَّحْمَانِ? Who is Ar-Rahman? We don't know what is Ar-Rahman. So his name was not Abdul Rahman. His name before Islam was Abdu Amr, slave of Amr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed his name. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not change all the names of the Sahaba when they embraced Islam. Only those who had names that are contradictory to Islam. Because everybody is only slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abd Amr is not a name that Islam will embrace. And his name was changed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abdul Rahman. And this is in narrated by Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. He said, كان اسمي عبد عمر فسماني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الرحمن. And عبد الرحمن and Abdullah were one of the two names that are most beloved to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they are one of the names that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see this repeated by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. When he wants to change somebody's name, he will call him either عبد الرحمن or Abdullah, like Abu Huraira, عبد الرحمن ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi, and etc. So these names you will know, and it's an honor to be called that by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was born 10 years after the year of the feet. He's 10 years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was described in the book of history as a tall man. رَجُلًا طَوِيلًا حَسَنُ الْوَجْهِ. He was a handsome man. رَقِيقُ الْبَشْرَ أَبْيَضًا مُشْرَبَ الْحُمْرَ. He had fair white complexion that is rosy, that is also with redness. لَا يُغَيِّرُ شَعْرَ أَعْيًا أَهْدَبَ الْإِشْفَارِ. He's got beautiful eyes with long lashes. أقنى له جمة أسفل أذنيه ضخم الكفين. He had large hands and strong fingers. He was left-handed. Also, that was one of the things that are narrated upon him, like Umar ibn Khattab, who was also left-handed. And he, later on in his life, he became a'raj. He had a limp because he had to sacrifice during one of the most important battles of Islam, which is the Battle of Uhud. Him and Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha became paralyzed in his right hand, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had a limp after the Battle of Uhud. And these were their badges of honor, that they were the ones that left around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, like many of the people we study, came to Islam through Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He is one of the people that were called by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to come to Islam, knowing his intelligence, knowing his wisdom, and knowing his understanding and the preparedness. He was prepared to accept the da'wah. So the people that were chosen by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he didn't arbitrarily go out to the houses of Quraysh calling upon people. He chose the ones that are ready for this, that are just waiting for some guidance. He chose Uthman ibn Affan. He chose Sa'id ibn Zayd. He chose Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. He went to these people that he knew that they had readiness in their heart to accept this da'wah. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was no exception from the early Muslims in his torments and his torture and what he had to go through the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a price that people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to understand and be ready to pay when they are calling for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the prophets, they were all tormented, they were all persecuted, they were all fought. It was never an easy trip. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. People who say we believe, they will have to go through tribulation. This is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know the pure gold from the gold that is not so pure. That's what the fitna is all about. And then Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he made all three hijrah. He made the first hijrah to Habasha, and he made the second hijrah to Habasha, and then he made the hijrah to Medina. So he got the reward of hijrah. Hijrah is a great event, because hijrah is not a trip. Hijrah is leaving everything behind. Going only to a place that you are a stranger in, that you have nothing in, only so you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immigration in this time and age is different than the hijrah that they made. They were leaving the place that they had their wealth and they had their family and they had and they would go to a place that they cannot even speak the language of, only like in a Habesha, only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he made the hijrah to Al-Madinah. And when he made the hijrah to Al-Madinah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know he made brothers of one person from Mecca, and he would have another person in Al-Madinah, and he would make him brothers, Al-Ikha. And one of the things that are narrated in our history and well documented of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, the story of him and his brother Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah. Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu was an Ansari. And he received Abdul Rahman ibn Auf like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They loved those who immigrated to them. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And their hearts, there is nothing. There is no bad feeling. And they would give. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. And they prefer their brothers over themselves, even if they are in need. And Sa'd ibn Rabi' and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf exemplify this and showed the truth of that. And here is what is narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari about this hijrah of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. نزل عبد الرحمن بن عوف على سعد بن الربيع وآخى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين عبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعيد بن ربيع الأنصاري. فجاء السعد. سعد came to عبد الرحمن. Welcome him to his house. Now think of what is the most thing that you can do to a guest that comes to your house. How generous you can be. He came to him and he said, يا عبد الرحمن هذا مالي. Here's my money. This is my entire wealth. فَلَكَ شَطْرُهَا. You take half of my money, half of everything I have. How? Whatever. This is, aren't you my brother? See, Abu Huraira came man to Abu Huraira who knows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam well, and the man came to him and said, يا أبو هريرة أحبك في الله. I love you in the sake of Allah. And Abu Huraira said, إذن جيبي جيبك. Then my pockets are the same, huh? And the man said, لا أطيق هذا. No, I didn't mean that, I love you, you know. And Abu Huraira said, إذن لا تحبني في الله. Then don't tell me that you love me in Allah. Don't. This is, you have to really. And this is how Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf and Sa'd. Sa'd came to Abd al-Rahman and he said, here is my money. Here is everything I have. You have half of it. Didn't stop there. He said, I have two wives. And you have you're not a married man. He had to leave his family behind. He said, فَخْتَرْ. So choose which one of them you want. And she will be, and طَلِّقُهَا لَكْ. Then I will divorce her for you. Not that he didn't really like his wife, was trying to get rid of her. No, absolutely not. And see this love in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abd al-Rahman said, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكَ فِي أَهْلِكَ وَمَالِكَ. May Allah bless you in your money and in your family. No, لا حاجة لي بذلك. No, he said, I don't need this. He said, he brought with him 5 dinar. That's all he had. He said, دلني على السوق. Just show me where the market of Medina is. Sa'd ibn Rabi' said, عبد الرحمن, the market of Medina is not like the market of Mecca. We have different rules here. He said, the Jews control the market here. SubhanAllah. he said, the Jews control the market. And you really can't do fair trade in here. They are in control of the financial district in Medina. You can't go there. Abd al-Rahman said, دُلَّنِي عَلَى السُّوقِ. Just show me where it is. Just show me where it is. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for me. And he made dua for me to Allah bless in my dealing with people. So just show me where the market is. So Sa'd ibn Rabi' took Abd al-Rahman and his 5 dinar and he showed him where the market is. The time when Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf died, his wealth was divided into 46 shares for inheritance. And in some narration, each of his shares was 80,000 golden dinar. In today's money, that is multi-million for each one of these shares. the entire fortune of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and I heard one of the estimations, what, about $1.5 billion in today's money for his 5 dinar and for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way that Abdul Rahman ibn Auf deals with people was to avoid anything that has a suspicion of haram. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is the one that said, تَرَكْنَا نِصْفَ الْحَلَالِ مَخَافَةَ الرِّبَى. We left half of the halal. Half of the things that are halal, we would leave them out, fearing riba. Fearing that this, there may be some suspicion in it, he would not even deal with it. Anything that would have any smell of usury in it, or any suspicion, because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الحلال بين, والحرام بين, وبينهما أمور متشابهات. الحلال is clear, and what is haram is clear. But there is a gray zone. There is things that you really don't know, and you go to this one and he'll give you a fatwa, and to the other one will say that haram, and people have conflicts, you know, ulama. Abdul Rahman said, we half of the halal we left. Half of the things that are clearly maybe fine, we left it khawfa makhafat al-riba. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the money of those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was giving a wife by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf we learn al-adab, the manners of the wedding. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, awlim walaw bisha, you have to give a meal in the wedding, walaw bisha, even if it's one lamb. You have to have a walima at the time of the wedding. And that is the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of the battles of Islam. He would not leave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was with him in Badr and Uhud and Al-Khandaq and all the other battles. In the battle of Badr, it is narrated from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him in charge of brigade in the army, and I can't really remember, but I think it's the right of the army. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was one of the leaders, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put him with the Ansar, put him with some of the Ansar to protect the Muslim from one side. So Abdul Rahman ibn Auf took this is the first battle. Now this is the first major battle, and Abdul Rahman ibn Auf feels the heavy responsibility given to him by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will have good fighters with him to defend that mission that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him. So this is what is narrated from Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. He said, إِنِّي وَاقِفٌ يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ فِي الصَّفِ. I'm standing in the day of Badr in a row, because the Muslims were put in a row by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I looked on my right and I looked at my left. فَإِذَا أَنَا بَيْنَ غُلَامَيْنٍ حَدِيثَةٌ أَسْنَانُهُمَا مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. Said, I found two young boys, their teeth just come out. This is how young they are. Of course, this is a figure of speech. It's meaning that they're just teenagers. He looks, instead of finding the people who have experience and strength in the war, he said, I found a teenager on my right and a teenager on my left. فَتَمَنَّيْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ بَيْنَ أَضْلَعَ مِنْهُمَا. I wished that I would be between two people that are a little bit more experienced, a little bit stronger. And then while I was waiting, one of them poked me. He said, Ya Am, my uncle. I mean, this is how, you know, Abdul Rahman was young. He's 10 years younger than the Prophet ﷺ. So he was 33. And this boy is calling him my uncle. So you can see the difference in the age. I mean, I don't know if 33 is old, but maybe. He said, then the one of them poked me and he said, Uncle, Ya Am, هل تعرف أبا جهل? Do you know Abu Jahl? He said, yes. وَمَا حَاجَتُكَ إِلَيْهِ يَبْنَ أَخِي. So what do you want of Abu Jahl, my cousin, my nephew? What do you need? What do you want for Abu Jahl? And he said, إِنِّي أُخْبِرْتُ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يَسُبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I was told that he used to abuse Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ رَأَيْتُهُ لَا يُفَارِقُ سَوَادِ سَوَادَ حَتَّى يَمُوتَ الْأَعْجَلَ مِنَّا. He said, Wallahi, wa alaykum salam, if I see Abu Jahl, I will not leave him until one of us would die. This young boy wants to get the biggest guy in Quraysh, the leader of the Quraysh army. He said, فَتَعَجَّبْتُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. It was wondrous. This is wondrous how this boy wants to go get Abu Jahl. And then the other one poked me. And he told me the same thing. He wants to know where Abu Jahl is, because Abu Jahl used to abuse Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, then I felt good about my position. Then I knew I'm not really between two boys, I'm among men. I'm among people that really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet, and they're willing to sacrifice their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their Prophet. And then I said, and then I saw Abu Jahl. And then I told them, أَلَا تَرَيَانْ هَذَا صَاحِبَكُمَا. Here is the one that you're asking about. He said, فَانْطَلَقَا كَالسَّهْمَيْ. They run, rush to him, to Abu Jahl, like two arrows, running to Abu Jahl. Each one is trying to raise the other towards Abu Jahl. فَضَرَبَاهُ بِسَيْفِهِمَا حَتَّى قَتَلَا. They fell, and they beat and stabbed Abu Jahl until he fell and they killed him. And then they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these two were Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh wa Mu'adh ibn Afra. Mu'adhan. Mu'adh ibn Amr, they both boys of the Ansar. Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh and Mu'adh ibn Afra. And each one of them ran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I killed Abu Jahl. The other one said, I killed Abu Jahl. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَلْ مَسَحْتُمَا سَيْفَكُمَا. Did you wipe off your swords? And they said, no. So the Prophet said, give me your swords. So he took the swords and he looked at them. And he gave the spoils of Abu Jahl to Mu'adh ibn Amr ibn al-Jamuh. He had more blood on his sword than the other one, so he gave him the bounty for killing Abu Jahl. Another funny story that happened to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf during the Battle of Badr is his position with Bilal ibn Rabah. Now Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is a merchant in Quraysh, and he knows the elite of the merchants of Quraysh. And one of his friends before Islam was Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And Umayyah ibn Khalaf was really scared to die in that battle. He did not want to go out to Badr. He was trying to avoid it until Abu Jahl just shamed him and dragged him and embarrassed him of Quraysh. So Umayyah ibn Khalaf, when he saw the battle is not going in the right direction, he looked for Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was gathering some spoils, and he had some shields with him. So that would be his share. So Umayyah ibn Khalaf said, don't you want something better than these shields, Abdul Rahman? And he said, what is that? He said, take me and my son as prisoners. There you can get a really handsome ransom for us instead of these shields. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said, wallahi, this is a good idea. So he took Umayyah ibn Khalaf and he took him as a prisoner. So he would join the prisoners in Badr. And while he was walking with his prisoner, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Bilal ibn Rabah saw them. And he said, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Ra's al-Kufri, la najawtu in naja. Here is Umayyah ibn Khalaf, the head of the shirk. I will not leave him. And he ran to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said, leave him, Bilal, he is my prisoner. He's my protection. And Bilal said, wallahi, ma najawtu in naja. I will not leave him. This is the man that used to drag Bilal ibn Rabah, torture him, and in the heat of the sand of Mecca, and he would put the rocks on top of him, and he would beat him until he bleeds and leave him out there. And Bilal did not forget that. And he said, this is the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the power over these people so they can be punished. And this is supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, later on we know the story of the prisoners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want the Muslims to even take prisoners in that battle. And he said, this, we have to kill Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf wants to take this man as a prisoner and give the ransom. So Bilal started calling to Al-Ansar. Al-Ansar, help me. This is Umayyah. This is the one that used to beat me. This is the one that used to... So Al-Ansar said, this is the man. We'll go and we will help you to kill that man. And they ran to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and they dragged his prisoner out of him and they killed Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, while he's defending Umayyah, he's also was wounded. And that was one of the wounds that he got in Badr was by Al-Ansar, trying to defend his prisoner. And then he would remember this story and he would laugh. And he would say, Yarhamullahu Bilalan, faja'ani bi adra'i wa asiri. Oh, may Allah have mercy on Bilal. He wasted my shields because he had to leave the shields to take Umayyah. And the prisoner, he killed my prisoner, so I got nothing. He ended up with nothing. And that's one of the stories that is narrated by Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And Uhud was one of the people that stood around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was stabbed and beaten so many times, 20 of his wounds was in his leg. And from that day on, he used to limp. He did not, he could not walk straight from that day on. And he also lost teeth in the battle of Uhud, and that affected his speech after Uhud. Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf in the Ghazwa of Tabuk, in the Ghazwa of Al-Usra, the expedition of hardship or the battle of hardship, he gave his money to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave 20 uqiyah, and uqiyah is something like a pound almost of gold to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abd al-Rahman, "Hal tarakta li ahlika shay'an? Did you leave anything for your family?" And he said, "Yes, akthar mimma anfaqtu wa athyab." Yeah, I left him a lot more than I'm spending. And the Prophet said, "How much did you leave him? If you're bringing me all this gold, how much did you leave?" He said, "I left him ma wa'ad Allahu wa rasuluhu, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet. Everything I left for my, I left him everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. Al-Jannah. The blessing of Allah is what I left him." And that was the generosity of Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf. In Tabuk, in this Ghazwa of Al-Usra, something happened to Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, did not happen to any of the Sahaba, except the final days of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Abu Bakr. That, and during this Ghazwa, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing something, during the expedition with Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, and he came to the Muslims, and the Muslims were starting the prayer. They waited for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he didn't come. So they decided to start the prayer without the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they put Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf as the Imam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and he stood behind Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, and he started the prayer as Ma'moon, after the Imam, who is Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf. And Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, the Sahaba started giving him signs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. And he started to retreat and to go back so the Prophet can come and take the Imam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Makanak, you stay where you are." And he prayed one rak'ah with Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, Ma'moon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he continued, and then Abd al-Rahman made salam, because already one rak'ah has passed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and he finished his salah with one rak'ah. And from that incident, people, this is the fiqh ruling, how to, if you are following an imam and you miss the rak'ah, how you get up and you finish that after the imam. It's learned from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his prayer behind Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf. Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf narrated 65 hadith on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, there is two hadith that are agreed upon, and Al-Bukhari has five hadith that are not in Muslim. And some of his students are Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Jabir ibn Abdullah, and Anas ibn Malik. Some of the things that are known of Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf is, he is mentioned in Asbab al-Nuzul, in the causes of some of the revealing of the Quran. And that ayah is الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُطَوِّعِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. When Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf brought one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came on the minbar, and he did, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by the way, used to do fundraising. He would get on the minbar and he would call people for sadaqah. And he would say sometime, who would buy the Jannah with such and such? Who would do this with such and such? Who will? And one day he went out there and he was asking for sadaqah and a time of need. And Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf said, "I had only 8,000 dirham." And he's, you know, for a rich man that was not much. And he said, "So I brought 4,000 immediately to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I gave the Prophet 4,000." And the Prophet said, "Barakallahu laka fima a'tayta wa ma amsak." May Allah bless the money that you give and the money that you left in your family. And then the munafiqeen said, "Ma ja'u bi sadaqatihim illa riya'." They came with this, he came with this, Abd al-Rahman, to show off. To show off in front of people. He's a generous man. He's giving half of his money to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that those who ridicule the ones that give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised them torment. Those who say that about the mu'min, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the hearts of people.
Which verse is this? Which
This is an At-Tawbah 79. Surah At-Tawbah 79. After the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wives, لا يحنو عليكن بعدي إلا الصابرون. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody will have sympathy for you after me except those who have patience and endurance in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was very known that he took care of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. He would take care of the mothers of the believers. And he will bring the caravan. And he will send a lot of money to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Aisha used to pray for him, Saqallahu ibn Auf min salsabil al-Jannah. May Allah quench his thirst from the rivers of paradise. And he used to take the wives of the prophets, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, to Al-Hajj, and he would take care of them, and he will go with them in their caravan to Al-Hajj and bring them back. And he was the one that took full custody of the needs of Ummahat al-Mu'mineen after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of the generosity of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, what is narrated upon him is the entire population of Medina was dependent on Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And this is well known in Tariq Dimashq and in Tafsir al-Razi. They said, أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْمَدِينَةِ كَانُوا عِيَالًا عَلَيْهِ. They were all dependent on Abdul Rahman. One third, he would loan them money. And one third, he will say, who will have any debts, and he will go pay their debts for them. And one third, he will just give them money. He will just, when the third that is poor, he will give money. The third that is not so poor, he will loan him money, give him money without, obviously without interest, and the ones that have loans, he will give the money to pay the debts for. And when Abdul Rahman ibn Auf died, his generosity continued, and his will that everybody who is still alive of the Battle of Badr, survived from the people of the Battle of Badr, will have part of his inheritance. And one of them was Uthman ibn Affan. And each one of them got 400 dinar. And Uthman ibn Affan was wealthy. So he was asked, why are you taking this money from the inheritance of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, who by the way died in the Khilafah of Uthman? He said, إِنَّ مَالَ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ حَلَالٌ صَفُ وَإِنَّ الطُّعْمَةَ مِنْهُ عَافِيَةٌ وَبَرَكَةٌ. I'm taking this money because this is halal. I know this is halal. So I want the blessing that is in this money. Because this is a lawfully acquired money. And I'm asking Allah for the barakah. It's not for the 400 dinar. And of this wealth of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, it is narrated, كان Abdul Rahman ibn Auf لا يعرف بين عبيده. He used to sit down, eat, and acquaint himself with his slaves. And when somebody that doesn't know who Abdul Rahman ibn Auf walk into this, he will not know who is Abdul Rahman ibn Auf and who is the slave. He would treat his servants and slave like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered to do. You clothe them from the same garments that you clothe yourself, and you feed them from the same food that you feed yourself. So when he is having a meal with his servants and somebody comes to join, he will not know who Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is. He wouldn't know who the master and who the slave is. And when he was brought, every time they bring him the money and the wealth, he would to cry. And they said, Abdul Rahman, why are you crying when you see the blessing of Allah? And he said, Mus'ab ibn Umair was better than me. And when we buried him, his garment would either cover his head or his feet. And Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib was better than me. And all he had when he died is that one garment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And people were hungry in his house. And they didn't have enough bread to eat. So when this money comes, I don't know if this is tribulation, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me with it, or if this is fitna for me. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf had a great station with the Sahaba. And when Abu Bakr wanted to have istikhlaf, when to recommend the khilafah for someone, he called Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. And he consulted with Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and he asked him about Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf recommended Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, when Umar was stabbed, he called upon Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, and he named him of the Shura. When the Shura was committed, they asked Abdul Rahman ibn Auf to be the judge, to be the final judge of who is going to get it. He went, this is how it went. He went to Uthman, and he said, إِن لَمْ أُبَايِعْكَ فَمَنْ. If I don't give you the bay'ah, who do you recommend? Uthman said, Ali. I recommend this to Ali. He went to Ali and he said, who do you recommend? And Ali said, Uthman. So he went to Sa'd. Sa'd said, I'm not interested in all of this. And he said, who do you recommend? He said, Uthman or Ali. Either Ali or Uthman. And then he said, well, Az-Zubayr and Talha, they said Ali or Uthman. So everybody was agreeing, either Ali or Uthman. He went back to Sa'd, he said, who do you recommend? We have to choose someone. So Sa'd said Uthman. And then he went and asked the elite of the Sahaba, and during the Khilafah of Umar, Umar was very tough on people. And they wanted a breather. And they know Ali was also very straight on, not that Uthman wasn't, but he was very tough on the others. So they all preferred Uthman. And that's how Abdurrahman ibn Auf gave the Khilafah to Uthman ibn Affan. And when Abdurrahman ibn Auf died during the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib wept upon him and he said, اذهب يا ابن عوف, you may go in peace, son of Auf. فقد أدركت صفوها وسبقت رنقها. He said, you took the best of it, the best of this life, because he had piety and wealth. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no envy except in two things. In Quran, and in somebody who is wealthy and spend the wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, you got it. You got the wealth of this dunya, and you get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَبَقْتَ رَنْقَهَا, and you left the bad water, the bad things out. And he died in the 32nd year after Hijrah, and he was 75 years old, and the prayer on him was led by the Khalifa Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and he was buried in Al-Baqiyah. On the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last hadith that I will narrate today inshaAllah, he said, يَبْنَ عَوْفِ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ. O يَبْنَ عَوْفِ, you are a wealthy man. وَإِنَّكَ سَتَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَبْوَى. You will crawl into paradise. Because people who are wealthy will be asked severely by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Abi Talib used to say, عَجِبْتُ لِلْمَالِ حَلَالُهُ حِسَابٍ وَحَرَامُهُ عِقَابٍ. The money, the halal of the money is accountability in front of Allah. And the haram of the money is punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, you will crawl into paradise. Everybody else would run into paradise, but you will crawl into paradise. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf used to cry when he remembered this hadith. But there is also a catch to that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَقْرِضِ اللَّهِ يُطْلِقْ قَدَمَيْكِ. So give to Allah and He would loosen your feet. So you will go hurry. You will hurry more into paradise. يَبْنَ عَوْفْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْأَثْرِيَاءِ وَسَتَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَبْوَى فَأَخْرِضُ اللَّهَ يُطْلِقْ قَدَمَيْكَ جَمَعَنَا اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّحَابَةِ أَجْمَعِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ وَرِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَعَ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَزَقَنَا اللَّهُ صُحْبَتَهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.